We're seeking the Lord's help and direct our thoughts this morning to the Acts of the Apostles and to the chapter 16 that we read in full earlier in the service, and to our text found in part of verse 14. Acts chapter 16 and verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. So our subject this morning is a character study, and that character is Lydia. Now all we know about Lydia is found in this chapter. So it's a relatively easy study this morning, a relatively easy to understand sermon, and I just pray that the Lord may use the simplicity of it to our hearts, to encourage us, to convict us, and to, above all things, direct us to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only chapter we can read in the whole Bible that tells us about Lydia. When the last verse of the chapter tells us that Paul and his companions came out of the prison, they entered into the house of Lydia, that is the last time we hear of Lydia. So if we want to discover anything about her, it's in this chapter. And I pray that the Lord will help us to appreciate the position of Lydia in the wider history of the church. Because we must always realise that the scripture is in the place it's in and in the order it's in for a reason. If we believe the scriptures are God inspired and they're all given for our profit and for our instruction, then the very order that they come in and the places that the apostles went to, the people that they met, there is a reason for it happening when it did. And I trust that this morning we'll understand the reason, particularly why the conversion of Lydia is here and has been since the canon of scripture was put together. It's here for our edification, it's here for our education. So we're going to think about Lydia. She was a successful businesswoman. A successful businesswoman. And her business was to sell luxury textiles. And these were textiles, more specifically, that were dyed purple. That's what the Bible means when it says she was a seller of purple. She sold luxury textiles that were dyed purple. And these textiles that were dyed purple were the favourite. They were beloved by wealthy people. So she did her business amongst the wealthy. She didn't go to the down and outs. She didn't go to the poor communities. She was a businesswoman and a successful one at that. And it was only the very wealthy people in those days who bought purple furnishings. It was known as Tyrian purple. I shan't describe to you the process by which it was made in exact detail, but it was actually made by boiling marine snails, and the colour came from those snails, and the purple colour was produced that particular way. So it was a high class business. Had she had a shop, it would have been in the prestigious parts of a city or parts of town, because she would have been quite a wealthy woman. She wasn't a down and out, she was a wealthy woman. And her name, actually, we often mention what the names in scripture mean. The name Lydia means beautiful one or noble one. And she's referred to generally when Bible scholars mention her, they refer to her as Lydia of Thyatira. And of course you'll remember that name, Thyatira, because it's one of the seven churches of Asia that are mentioned in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. The seven messages to the seven churches from the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of those churches was at a place called Thyatira. So here we have Lydia of Thyatira, a wealthy businesswoman dealing in luxury textiles that were dyed purple. And I'd like to put to you this morning that the passage that we've read is absolutely full of instruction, and it shows what a wonderful ministry there is in the Christian faith for a woman, and particularly for a Christian woman. And we can take a lot of teaching this morning, and to look at Lydia as a pattern for a Christian lady and an example of a true Christian. So we look at some of the aspects that we can glean from this chapter, because there's not very many verses that actually specifically mention Lydia, but we can piece together quite a lot of teaching from the chapter, even though there's not many verses mention her name. Where did she live? Well, as I've mentioned already, she originated at Thyatira, but at this point in her career, if you like, she was living at Philippi. Now, we understand the reason she was living at Philippi at this particular time is because there was better business facilities there than there were at Thyatira. You know how these days people gravitate to business parts on the outskirts of towns and the cities, and they operate from there. Gone are the days when everything was on the high street and you could go to a local shop or a local business. Quite often now you discover, if you're dealing with a firm, that they have their offices, they have their selling place quite a few miles out of town, and not very convenient to get to. Well, she lived at Philippi because the facilities were better there. Not only that, but Philippi was the chief city of Macedonia. You've seen that name, Macedonia, a few times this morning. Well, Philippi was the chief city of Macedonia, and it was also a Roman colony of Romans. That means that it was under the Roman government and under the Roman laws. And Lydia would have been a relative stranger in that place. She was there to do business, and you know, if you're doing a business, you need to establish yourself, you need to become known, you need to circulate, you need to make your wares visible and build up a good reputation so people will come back again and again to buy what you're offering. And particularly in her case, the items that were dyed purple. And we understand from verse 15 that Lydia didn't live on her own. We don't have any indication as to whether she was a married woman, but she didn't live on her own, because the Bible distinctly refers to a household. And it implies that there was a large household. We don't know whether she had servants, because being a wealthy woman, she possibly did have servants. Or the word household might refer to a husband, it might refer to children, possibly grown-up children. We don't really know, we're just guessing there. But she certainly had a house that was big enough to entertain guests, because we see, as we go on later in the chapter, that she entertained the Apostle Paul and his workers. So obviously she had a large property. It was a large house, and she was a lady of good repute. It wasn't a house of ill repute that they were going to. She was a lady of good repute. Most of all, and most importantly, of course, the Bible tells us that she worshipped God. She worshipped God. Now that tells us an awful lot about her straight away. She didn't hide her light under a bushel. She would have been well known with her business in the town, but she didn't hide her faith in God. She didn't operate like Joseph of Arimathea, in secret. She wasn't a secret disciple. It tells us she worshipped God. Now, even though she'd been born a Gentile, she'd embraced the Jewish faith, because quite often people did that. Because the Jews were well known for their love and reverence for Scripture. They believed in the Holy God of Israel. If you look back into the Old Testament, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The Jews had a great reverence for the commandments and for the laws that have been given to Moses. And so to ally oneself to the Jews, even though you weren't a Jew, a person who worshipped God, like Lydia, would have felt at home in the company of Jews because they reverenced the one true God. It wasn't like being in a pagan society and having to adopt the paganism of that place. She was enabled to worship God and show that she honoured and reverenced the God of the Jews. The Jewish religion often impressed people who weren't Jews because they worshipped the true God. Because they believed the Old Testament scriptures were sacred. And so even pagans would move to that area and find a place with the Jews because of their holiness. And the Apostle Paul appeared one day. He appeared at Philippi. It wasn't by chance, it was all in God's plan. But he appeared at Philippi and he found Lydia. All in God's time. Sometimes, you know, as we look back upon our lives and we wonder why we did things in a certain way, why we met certain people on a certain day and in a certain year, why the Lord brought us to a particular chapel or church, and we're sometimes puzzled about it, but nothing happens by chance. It all happens according to God's will and purposes. And this particular time was the time and the purpose that Lydia should meet up with the Apostle Paul. She was an honourable businesswoman. She was living, no doubt, according to the principles of the Old Testament. She'd received the word of the true God Jehovah, and the people she had joined, not becoming a Jew, but the people she had joined herself to. And I suppose that in her heart, she expected to be ultimately, eternally saved by that God of the Jews, the God Jehovah. She probably had in her heart, we don't know, we're just guessing. She worshipped God, but there was no evidence at that point that she knew the power of God in her heart, and she didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Saviour. Her heart was unopened at this particular point. She hadn't got the root of the matter, even though outwardly she worshipped God. Outwardly she honoured the scriptures. Outwardly she respected God's people of the Old Testament. But her heart had not at that point been changed. And how important it is that we don't in our lives go just as far as Lydia did. It's wonderful to believe the scriptures. It's wonderful to honour the God of the scriptures. It's wonderful to believe the holiness and the awesomeness of the true God of Israel. But we need more. We need that personal experience of the Lord Jesus Christ for ourselves. You see, it sounds awful to an outsider, but Lydia at this point was spiritually blind. She needed the light of the gospel. She needed the knowledge of the gospel. She needed the sincerity of the gospel. Here she was, though, a godly woman. And you notice that she already honoured and respected the Sabbath day. She already honoured and respected the Sabbath day. And probably in the secular society she might have subject to a lot of ridicule and fun being made of her because she honoured the Sabbath day. She worshipped God on the Sabbath day. And that's so important that we do worship God on the Sabbath day. You say, yes, we worship God every day of the week. Of course we do. We worship God at home. We worship God when we're driving or walking. Yes, of course we do. But the Sabbath day is set aside that we might come together to worship our God. And how sad it is when we see so many places of worship are no longer there. Isn't even the opportunity for some people to come together and worship God on the Sabbath day. Yes, she worshipped God, she was godly, and she worshipped every Sabbath, but she hadn't seen the light of the gospel at that point. Now, how did it all come about? Well, there was a prayer meeting. And this prayer meeting was held every week on the Sabbath day. And it doesn't actually mention that any men were involved in the prayer meeting. There was just women. So the women came together to pray. How important it is that godly women should pray. Yes, the men should pray as well, of course. But there's nothing to stop women getting together and praying together. And in Philippi, they got together once a week on the Sabbath. They got together outside the gate of the city. No doubt they did that because it was discreet. They weren't there to make a song and a dance, so to speak. They weren't there to be seen. They weren't there to be in the limelight. They were simply there to pray. And so they withdrew from the city and they met God in prayer by a riverside. It's a lovely pastoral scene, if you think about it, that these ladies withdrawing from the hustle and bustle of everyday society and simply gathering once a week to pray together. It's a lovely picture of godly women. It's a lovely picture of prayer, and it's a lovely picture of grace and spirituality. And they were no doubt a small remnant of Israelitish women. They wanted to seek God. They wanted to seek his face. They feared God with a godly and a righteous fear. And so they withdrew to the riverside week by week. And Lydia joined with them in the worship of the true God of Israel. Away from the town, no disturbances. Just a few faithful women gathering together. The world would laugh, the world would mock, the world would scorn. But there they were, praying to the true God of Israel. But then things were to change, weren't they? Because the Apostle Paul arrived in Philippi. Now, in this chapter we see the miraculous on several occasions. Because the Holy Spirit has actually spoken to the Apostle Paul and forbidden them to continue the preaching the gospel in Asia. Now, we often complain that we don't get any guidance, but in this chapter it was very clear the guidance was. The Holy Spirit actually stopped them preaching in Asia. There was a purpose behind it. And I often used to hear it said when I was quite a lot younger that the Acts of the Apostles really should be named the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. And if you think about it, it should be, because it wasn't the apostles themselves who did these things, it was the Holy Spirit. And on this occasion the Holy Spirit actually stopped them from going into Asia to preach the gospel. And after the Holy Spirit had prevented this, the Apostle Paul had a vision. So here another miraculous happening, and he had the vision showing him quite plainly that he had to go from Troas into Macedonia. And he heard a voice saying from Macedonia, come and help us. So you might be familiar with the phrase, the Macedonian call. In fact, in a hymn book I was used to, which we have a copy here on the front row, there's a hymn which has a verse in it, and it says, we have heard the Macedonian call today, send the light, send the light. And the Macedonian call was that call to go and to preach the gospel in Macedonia, the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. The Apostle Paul obeyed the heavenly vision. You see, God mightily appeared in a vision to Paul, and he obeyed it, and he embarked upon this journey into Macedonia. He crossed the Aegean Sea, and from Troas, from Neapolis and Philippi, here he came on the Sabbath day when the faithful women were praying by the riverside. And the Bible says he went to a place where prayer was wont to be made. Now, this teaches us several things. The Apostle Paul was in a strange city, a different place. What did he do on the Sabbath day? He went to the place where prayer was wont to be made. It was important. Now, of course, there were no New Testament churches meeting in Philippi at that time. There was only a congregation of these faithful women who were praying. But he went to it. And remember, at that time, in towns and cities, it was largely the synagogue, of course. And often, as the Lord Jesus himself went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, there was an honour given to the Sabbath day and the gathering of people who met on the Sabbath day. So here the Apostle Paul, he comes and sits down and he speaks to these dear women of the kingdom of God. What a day that must have been, if we think about it. Here are these faithful women quietly going about their business, praying week by week, and Lydia, the seller of purple, comes in to join with them, and then by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul comes in as well, and he is able to speak to them because they have a teacher. They have a minister, if you like, or a pastor, even though it's not a New Testament church at that point. They've got someone who will speak to them in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he does that. And this is the most important reason for this chapter, is that Lydia was the beginning of the church in Europe. She was the first convert in Europe. So Lydia was actually a very important person, and this chapter is a very important chapter because it records the beginning of the gospel going into Europe. So if you go home today and you think, well, that was quite a long chapter, what was it really all about? That's what it's about, the beginning of the gospel, the beginning of the church in Europe. And that beginning had its continuance as the gospel spread to so many European nations and ultimately to the distant shores of Great Britain. The gospel reaching Britain eventually came from that one first convert, that lady, that faithful lady, that wealthy lady, that business lady. That's how it happened, the introduction of the gospel into Europe, from those humble beginnings. The seed continued to be sown. The word of God continued to be preached. But more important than that, this occasion was the time when Lydia came into a personal experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, whose heart the Lord opened. Now that implies quite clearly, as I've said already, that her heart was not open previously. Her heart was unopened. We're not saying it was a hard heart. It no doubt wasn't, because she was honouring the word of God. And she was worshipping the true God. But her heart hadn't actually been opened to the salvation of God. And here, as the Apostle Paul preached, her heart was opened. And that's why we have the preaching of the word. Because it's through the preaching of the word that people's hearts are opened. They see the light, so to speak. The scales fall from their eyes. And they're enabled by the Holy Spirit to see their true condition. And they're enabled to see the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the answer to their condition. He can save them. He can change them. And so Lydia was the first fruits of a great harvest in Europe. She heard the word through the Apostle Paul. The Lord opened her heart. She experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. The gospel came in. Light came in. Life came in. And the Holy Spirit took possession of her heart. Her heart was opened. She saw what was in herself. And she saw what was there in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe at that time she would come in repentance and prayer with a desire to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. So in future she wouldn't just be coming to worship the God of Israel, the God of the Old Testament. She would come with that knowledge in her heart of the living Saviour. And that's not to cast any aspersions upon her previous life. It was godly. And we may have godly lives, we may live good lives. We may worship God, we may say our prayers, we may read the Word of God. But this was something a step further. She was saved. She was converted. She became a partaker of grace. Her heart was opened. And into the broken human heart would pour the wonderful love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ would be formed in her, the hope of eternal glory. She was saved. But what was the outward effect of it? Sometimes our critics and sceptics say, well, what difference does it make to you? If you say you're saved, you believe you're on the road to heaven, and you believe you're possessed of eternal life, what difference does it make? Well, what difference did it make to Lydia? After she'd experienced this inward work, after the Lord had opened her heart, the Bible says she attended to the things spoken by Paul. She attended to the things spoken by Paul. So the Word of God did some good. She didn't go back home or back to her business and say, well, I'm not taking any notice of this apostle. She attended to the things he'd said. And if we hear the Word of God and we continually don't attend to it, our heart will be unopened and our heart will be hardened. Oh, that we might have soft hearts. Oh, that the Lord might open each one of our hearts in a very real way. And oh, that we might be filled with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. The other day I happened to chance upon a video on the internet, and it was the long-retired principal of the theological college where I did my studies. An elderly man now, of course. And he was speaking on various things. But one thing he said really impressed me. And I think it's been my thought during this week, having heard it. It was just one sentence. He was talking about prayer, and he said, the amount of time we spend in prayer will be governed by the love we have for Jesus. Just think about that. I thought that was very, very deep, and it's been with me all week. The amount of time we give to prayer will be governed by the amount of devotion we have, the love we have for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Lydia had a love to the Lord Jesus Christ, and she attended to the things that were spoken of by Paul. She was filled with the fear of God. And each one of us, if our hearts have been opened, we will attend to the Word of God. We will hear it. We won't bury it. We won't let it fall on stony ground. We'll experience a heart work as the Word of God works its work with us. And Lydia, no doubt, grew in the knowledge and love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And she would have found sweet fruits of obedience in her life. And moving on, what happened next? She was baptized. There was no great delay, and of course there was a river there. These days we tend to baptize in special pools in chapels, but in those days the climate would have been better, no doubt. They baptized in the river. Although I have baptized in Lake Windermere in winter on one occasion. Well, somebody was particularly keen to be baptized in public in the lake, and it was mid-November and it was snowing. But we did hold a baptismal service, that was about 30 years ago, in Lake Windermere, so he could be baptized. It is important to be baptized, and Lydia obeyed that call, and there was very little time elapsed. We tend to think people should go on for quite a while, but in Lydia's case she was baptized immediately. She professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was public, of course. And what's more interesting, and we can't expand on it because it's not there in the scripture, but it says her household were baptized. Now, whether this was a family, related family, husband, children, we don't know, as we mentioned. Might have been the servants, we really don't know, but it says her household were baptized. So somehow, in God's immense sovereignty, he touched members of her household. And they all went through the waters of baptism together. Her dependents were called to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come to our final thought, we've gone through the life of Lydia as we possibly could, as best as we possibly could, because there's not everything there in the scripture. But one final point is how it affected Lydia's household and her love to the servants of God. What did she do after her heart had been opened and she was baptized? She invited the Apostle Paul and his band into her house. Now, this was somebody, she hadn't known him for very long, he hadn't known her for very long, but she was particularly keen that the apostle should come into her house. It says she constrained him. Now, that means more than just an invitation. It means persuaded, it means urging him. She wanted the apostle in her house, and so she constrained them. She was a hospitable woman, and she no doubt provided excellent meals and looked after them and cared for their every need and enabled Paul to continue preaching the gospel at Philippi. She was a hospitable woman. So the Lord opened her heart, she was baptized, she had a gift of hospitality, particularly to the apostle Paul and his people. She had a love to the servant of God. And of course, when we got to the end of that chapter, that love was put to the test because she saw Paul and Silas arrested and thrown into prison, and all quite illegally because they were Roman citizens and they were not allowed to be condemned and to be beaten. And so that was why at the end of the chapter Paul was insisting that the magistrates came down personally to release them, because they'd acted illegally. They were not allowed to do what they did to Roman citizens. But that having been said, they were beaten. They were locked up in the stocks with other prisoners. And at midnight, they sang praises to God. They worshipped. Because God, the Holy Spirit, will open the prison doors, and he did. But of course, God the Holy Spirit will open prison doors spiritually for us as well. He'll release us in our thoughts, in our worship, in our thinking. He brings us out of the prison and sets us free. Stand fast in the liberty, therefore, with Christ hath made you free. So Paul and Silas, they were literally released from the prison. Another miracle of that chapter. There was an earthquake. The prisoners' bands were loosed and the doors were opened. And the keeper of the prison wanted to kill himself because he was so afraid that he would be put to death anyway for letting the prisoners loose. But said, "Do thyself no harm, because we're all here." And the magistrates came and released them. And what did they do at the end? They went back to Lydia's house. So we see this lovely fellowship of the early church. There it is. It's a simple message this morning, but it's a biography of Lydia, and that's all we know of her in that one chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. May we each one experience that power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts in the same way that Lydia did. May the Lord bless our hearts this morning as we contemplate these words.